Today is Pentecost Sunday, when we celebrate the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, of God's presence on all believers. And throughout the Bible, different imagery is used to describe the Holy Spirit. And one of the most common is that of water, or sometimes a river. Psalm 46, verse 4 says, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God." This river is the presence of God by his Spirit. The Old Testament prophet Ezekiel prophesied from 592 BC during the exile in Babylon. And in chapter 40, he begins to get a vision of a man back in Israel who leads him around the city. And when we get to chapter 47, we read a very significant passage for teaching on the Holy Spirit. So let me read to you. This is Ezekiel chapter 47, beginning at verse 1. "The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me round the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, that's about 460 meters. And then he led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, 'Son of man, do you see this?' Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river." And then verse 12 says this, "Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing." This is an extraordinary prophetic passage of scripture. What can we learn from it? Well, firstly, God's people are river people. The Bible begins with a river in Eden, Genesis 2, and it ends with a river in the heavenly city in Revelation 22, which is a fulfillment of Ezekiel's vision 600 years earlier. You see, Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2, is very similar to Ezekiel 47. Let me read to you Revelation 22. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations." This river of the water of life, at the center of creation in Genesis and at the center of new creation in Revelation, is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And as the people of God, we're river people, as it were, living immersed in the water of God's Spirit. The children's book, The Wind in the Willows, was written in 1908 by Kenneth Graham. And right at the start, one of the main characters, Mole, moves house, and he moves to go and live by the river. And as he strolls that first time by the river, he meets a new friend called Rat. And he's amazed to discover that Rat lives on the river. Mole says to him, "And you really live by the river?" Rat replies, "By it and with it and on it and in it. It's brother and sister to me, and aunts and company and food and drink and naturally washing. It's my world and I don't want any other. What it hasn't got is not worth having, and what it doesn't know is not worth knowing. We too are to be river people in God's river of his Spirit. In Ezekiel's vision, the water flows from the altar in the temple. And he's called not just to describe the river, but to get into it too. First of all, up to his ankles, then up to his knees, then up to his waist, and then to swim in it, to go, as C.S. Lewis said, further up and further in. So don't hold back. There is more of God's presence to experience. But maybe you're scared of water, or if you're honest, perhaps you're a little scared of God. Or maybe you're not scared, but you just don't think this Holy Spirit business is for you. You'd rather stay, well, dry. A number of years ago, I was working for a multinational company, and they sent my department away on a team building day. And they thought, oh, a great idea would be to send us whitewater rafting. I don't know whether you've ever done whitewater rafting. We got there and the course looked pretty terrifying. And they split us into three teams. And the idea was, one by one, we'd get into a raft and try and get down to the bottom of the course without capsizing. And the team that didn't capsize would win. Well, the first team got in the raft, off they went. They were soon out of view, but we could still hear the screams. And then eventually we were told, yep, they'd capsized. The second team got in a raft. Off they went. Again, they capsized. Then it was my team's turn. Now, I'm sure there are moments for collaborative or gentle leadership, but I decided this was not one of those moments. So we got into the raft and I was determined we were going to win. So if anybody looked like they weren't working hard enough or they were simply having too much fun, I'd tell them, keep rowing, keep rowing. So off we went. And I remember leaning out of the raft, paddling furiously. It was so hard in all of the white waves to keep the raft steady. But we kept going. And eventually we got to the bottom and we'd done it. We hadn't capsized. So we got out of the raft and I was feeling, you know, rather pleased with ourselves. And there was even going to be a trophy session. Even better, I thought. And sure enough, as the winning team, we were presented with a little trophy. But as we received it, I noticed something. All of the other two teams, they were laughing, they were chatting to each other, grinning, slapping each other on the back. And we, the winning team, we were all so miserable. Why were we the only ones not having fun? Well, the answer was because we were the only team that was dry. You know, today, get into the river of God's Spirit. Don't miss out on the fun. We're meant to be river people. Secondly, Jesus is the source of the water. People are spiritually thirsty. Maybe you are spiritually thirsty. In John chapter 4, Jesus said to the woman at the well that those who drink the water that he gives will never thirst again. He says in John 4:14, indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And in John chapter 7, Jesus went to the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. And each day during this festival, a priest would draw water from the pool of Siloam in a big golden flagon, a big golden cup. And then he'd enter the temple and pour out the water at the base of the altar as a reenactment of Ezekiel's vision in chapter 47 and as a prophetic act anticipating the coming of the Holy Spirit. On the last day of the feast, at the climax, at the exact moment the priest was pouring out the water in the temple, Jesus stood up and he said, if anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within them. And verse 39 explains, by this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. By glorified, the writer John means Jesus's crucifixion. And it's interesting that on the cross, water flowed not from the altar in the temple, but from Jesus's side when it was pierced with a spear by the Roman soldier. Jesus, the living temple, was pierced, and blood and water flowed. In the wilderness, when Moses struck the rock, outpoured water so that the thirsty people could drink and live. On the cross, the rock of ages, Jesus, was struck and outpoured water, a prophetic symbol of the Spirit that all could now receive because the barrier of sin between us and God had been removed by Jesus' death on the cross. And this sign was fulfilled 50 days later on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit, the presence of God, was poured out on all. So to find the source of the water, you need only turn to Jesus in faith. I remember praying for this guy once to receive Christ and to be filled with the Spirit. He was an ex-army guy, incredibly tall. That's all I remember of him, how tall he was. But I also remember that he was so nervous. He even said to me, look, he said, in my life as a soldier, I've been shot at many times, but I was never sweating like this. I'm so nervous. But I said, it's okay, let's pray. And then we just prayed for him. And as he turned to Christ, he was then filled with the Holy Spirit. And afterwards he said, that was so amazing. Why was I so nervous? You see, Jesus is the source of life, and he's the source of life-giving water that is his Spirit. And then thirdly, and most importantly, the water of the Spirit transforms. Raniero Cantalamessa says that the Holy Spirit changes nothing and yet transforms everything he touches. And what he means by this is that as the Spirit touches you and fills you, you don't stop being you. But the Spirit can bring about a positive transformation in your life. It's like you become more the real you as you become more like Jesus. I wonder, do you want to change certain things about yourself? Growing up, I always wanted to change my nose. Now, I'm afraid the Spirit isn't likely to bring about that sort of change. But maybe, you know, you get angry too easily and you'd love more patience. Or you know that you need to be less judgmental or faster to forgive others. Or perhaps you struggle with jealousy and find celebrating the success of others hard. The Holy Spirit brings about this sort of change, which is far harder. And the Holy Spirit brings about internal transformation. He grows the fruit of the Spirit, the character traits of Jesus in our character. Fruits such as love, joy, peace, patience. Would you like some of those? And others will notice. I remember this woman came as a guest into my Alpha small group. And she came to faith in Jesus on that Alpha, and she was filled with the Spirit. And then on the next Alpha course, she came back, but this time brought her husband along with her. And on that first week one of Alpha in the small group, I often ask people what made them come along on Alpha. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, well, I don't know what you've done to my wife, but I'd like some of the same, please. She'd obviously been transformed for the better, and he'd noticed the change in her. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, bringing the likeness of Christ in our lives. And the Holy Spirit can also bring about external transformation. Ezekiel 47, verse 12 says, says that, you know, as the water of life has become first a trickle, but then a torrent of a river going out from the temple, bringing life into the desert, trees grow. And it says this in verse 12, fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. And then John, in his vision in Revelation 22, takes this a step even further, describing the trees, saying that on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. You see, the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. In other words, the fruit the Spirit brings about isn't just for internal, individual character transformation. It's also to bring about transformation that'll heal nations, societal change. In other words, the Holy Spirit can bring about practical and circumstantial change. Another alpha small group that I was leading, I've led a lot of small groups, you can tell. I remember this couple came along and their marriage was clearly not in a great place. How did I know this? Well, firstly, they didn't even sit together. In the small group, you put the chairs in a circle, and I remember the wife sat on one side and the husband literally sat opposite on the other side of the circle. And one thing we do in week one of Alpha is we ask everyone just to introduce themselves by saying their name plus an adjective describing themselves. And that adjective is meant to begin with the same letter as their name. So what I'll do is I'll change the couple's names, but I'm going to keep the adjectives the same, just so you get an idea what it was like. So when we got to the wife and it was her turn to introduce herself, she said, "I am long-suffering Lisa." And then she glared at her husband. I thought, oh, that's a bit awkward. And then when it got to him, he introduced himself as persecuted Peter. So that's what they were sort of like. And it went on like that each week. But then halfway through the Alpha course, it was the Holy Spirit weekend away. And we got a chance to pray for each of them to be filled with the Spirit, which they were. And then that next Wednesday, when we came back to the Alpha small group as usual, the change, the transformation was immediately evident. For one, they were sitting next to each other. And they were holding hands and constantly sort of playing footsie with each other and just beaming from ear to ear. And when we went round and asked everyone how they got on the Alpha weekend, they said it was literally life-changing for them as a couple. I wonder what practical situation in your life, at home, or even at work, or in your school, what practical circumstance would you like the Spirit to enter and impact and change for the better? Ask Him to do so today. This is the transforming impact of the river of God. But there's a challenge. You see, the devil loves a desert. Actually, when I first wrote this talk, I made a typo in my notes. I wrote, "The devil loves a dessert." Well, who doesn't? Maybe he does. But what I meant by that really was the devil loves a desert. He loves a spiritual desert. He tries to block up the river so that we're cut off. And maybe you feel spiritually dry or in a desert place right now. Psalm 46 was Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer's favorite psalm. And Psalm 46, verse 4 says, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God." And when Luther first translated this verse into German in 1524, he used the word Strom, which means stream or river. But 10 years later, by 1534, he changed the word to Brunnlein, which means a little brook or a little dribble or tickle of water. In other words, he'd lost the river. Maybe you feel like you've lost the river in your life. But the good news is the river of God never dries up. Jesus died that we might have free access to the water of his Spirit. And where there's a desert, the river can flow. And when water flows into the desert, life springs back very quickly. In Isaiah 43, verse 19, God says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." As we turn to Jesus, the presence of the water of his Spirit comes to us. So, if you're ready, shall we pray? You might want to put your hands out in front of you right now as if to say, "Yes, I want to receive this gift." And I pray for all of us now. Come, Holy Spirit, the river of life. Fill each one of us, wherever we are, right now. And those who feel they've been in a dry place, just allow the Spirit right now to bubble up within you, the water of life again. Don't stand on the edge of the river, jump in. And allow the transforming power of the Holy Spirit into your situation. Just sense that maybe there's a couple watching this and you're desperate to conceive. I just pray now in Jesus' name that he would grant you the desire of your heart. And for those that need healing right now, the power of God, his Spirit, is with you. Receive your healing in Jesus' name. Amen.